You'll find our reading, if you want to follow it, on page 635 of the Bibles on the desks, and we're reading Proverbs chapter 2. The value of wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it.
Thanks, Jonathan. Let's pray as we look at these words together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can turn to your wisdom, and we pray that as we look at these words now, that you will be our teacher, that you'll fill us with your eternal heavenly perspective, and that we will treasure what we learn in our hearts. Amen. I don't know if you know the story of the couple of guys who get stuck in a desert, and they are dying of thirst in the desert. And they're walking along, and suddenly they see on the horizon there's a little oasis. And they think, fantastic, we can get some water. So they go to the oasis, and there's a market going on. It's market day. And they go to the first stall and say, could I have a glass of water, please? And they say, I'm sorry, we only sell custard. That's a bit strange. So they go to the next market stall and say, could I have a glass of water, please? They say, sorry, we only sell roly-poly. Even more strange. They go to the next one, could I have a glass of water? Sorry, we only sell jelly here. And so they leave. No more stalls to go to. And as they leave the oasis, one turns to the other and says, that was a trifle bizarre. Boom, boom. Well, why do I say that? Well, partly because it's the only joke I know, but also because life can be like that. It can seem a trifle bizarre. And we saw last week, we defined wisdom, and wisdom is seeing reality. Not seeing the world as bizarre, but seeing the reality, because we can see from God's perspective. We saw in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord, looking to him, recognizing him, is the beginning of wisdom. It's not that someone who does not know God cannot think wise thoughts, but wisdom that ignores God is one-dimensional wisdom. That's the point. It lacks the dimension of an eternal purpose. It lacks the dimension of being forgiven people of God. It lacks that dimension of having an identity of being a dearly loved child of God. That is the dimension that brings true wisdom, true perspective to this world. So we looked at the what last week, and this week we're going to look at how. How do we gain this wisdom? And again, there's a handout on your tables, and three ways this passage says we can gain wisdom. And the first is to value wisdom, value the benefit of wisdom. The Christian leader A.W. Tozer wrote the following: "I am convinced that the dearth of great saints," that means us Christian people, "in these times, even among those who truly believe in Christ, is due at least in part to the unwillingness to give sufficient time to the cultivation of the knowledge of God." The plea at the start of Proverbs 2 is to have that willingness, a willingness to cultivate a knowledge of God. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 1 together. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding." What is the key to gathering wisdom? It is being attentive, listening. And then it says, verse 4, "If you seek it, if you seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord." What we value, what we seek, what we desire, that affects how we develop as people. For example, if I value comfort first and foremost, that'll affect who I'm friends with. That'll affect what I go and see, what I read, what I expose myself to. I don't want to expose myself to something that might challenge my comfort zone. I don't want to be with people that might challenge my feeling of comfort. If I value happiness, then again, I'll look all the time for opportunities to make myself happy, to opportunities to smile, make a joke, and I'll avoid any path that might lead me to thoughts of sadness. If I value success, then I'll build every decision based on that, about what I do in terms of work and the goals that I set for myself day by day. But if I value wisdom, then I'll look to understanding. That's what I'll value. That's what I'll be seeking and treasuring. I'll look to understand the reality of myself, the reality of who God is, the reality of the choices I'm making. Wisdom isn't, therefore, just dropped into our lap by some angelic courier that comes to our office. No. Wisdom, verse 4, says, needs to be searched for. Search for it as for hidden treasures. Something valuable, that it needs to be our vowed intent every day. Search for this. Long for wisdom from God. I wonder if we do that. Do we value wisdom first and foremost? I thought we could try a little wisdom test this lunchtime. Imagine a coffee afterwards. You say to me, "Well, I went to a new church on Sunday with some friends," and I ask you, "What was the best thing? What did you come away from that with?" Now, what would you answer to that? I might say, coffee was good, or I learned a new worship song, or great publicity that I received, or really good multimedia techniques, or I received this treasure, this gift from God's word. That was what I came away really delighted by. We'll try test number two. You are invited with some friends to go to a cottage in Wales for the weekend. And in the afternoon, everybody else goes for a healthy walk, but you decide not to. You've got a broken leg or something, so you can't. So a good excuse. And you're at home, all on your own, in this cottage in Wales. Now, you're in the living room, and there's a TV, and there's sports matches on, and there's a classic matinee movie on another channel. There's a shelf of books, and there's Agatha Christie and some really good, fast, easy reads. There's also a couple of Christian books, and there's Jim Packer's Knowing God. What do you choose to do with that couple of hours that you have that afternoon as you curl up by the fire? What is your companion of choice? What we value? Do we value growing in wisdom, using time to gain wisdom? To repeat Tozer, stunted Christians is due to an unwillingness to give time to growing in wisdom. That's the first thing. We need to desire wisdom. And secondly, we need to receive wisdom as a gift from God. Verse 6 is the key to this passage. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. There's a very clear logic in the opening verses of this chapter. Verse 1, if you receive my words, treasure up. Verse 2, making your ear attentive. Yes, if you call out for insight, if you desire, it's saying in these opening verses, then, verse 6, then the Lord will give you what you desire. That's an amazing gift. In other words, verses 1 to 5 aren't saying if you work very hard at studying the Bible, if you go to theological college three times, if you read every commentary on a book of the Bible, if you do extra Hebrew homework when you get home every evening, then you'll be a wise Christian. No, it's saying first, if you incline your ear, if you have that desire, if you call out, verse 3, for insight, then that's when God will give. This is a gift from God. Yes, of course, I'm not saying for a minute that we don't need to understand God's words. We don't need to read the Bible. Of course we do. We need to read it with that prayer in our hearts, don't we? I desire, as I open God's words, I desire to hear God speak to me. My ear is attentive, not to the technical nature of these verses. My ear is attentive to God's wisdom flowing into my heart as I read. Information will only change us if we're applying that, allowing God's Holy Spirit to speak those words into our heart. In other words, we need factors 1 and 2 of the how together. I had one of the best Christmases I think I've had for ages this year, because a couple of my friends made a commitment to Christ just before Christmas, and it was just such an exciting gift to see them changing right in front of my eyes. And they made very clear decisions about their lifestyle together as a result. And I met their father on New Year's Day at church, and he was saying that an amazing thing has happened to my son. And I said, what's that? And I thought he'd say, well, they've changed their lifestyle or whatever. He said, no, the amazing thing is he has a new peace in his heart, completely different perspective on life. Gaining wisdom is the key to that, isn't it? Seeing God's love, God's peace flowing into our heart. The writer of Proverbs, King Solomon, is a classic case study in this. God asked Solomon, what do you desire most of all? I'll give you anything that you desire. And what does he ask for? He asks for wisdom. Now, what does God do? Does God put Solomon into a sort of Joe 90 capsule, spin him around very fast, and sort of imbibe him with lots and lots of information? No. Gradually, God gives that wisdom day by day to Solomon, gives insight into issues. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And Jesus says exactly the same. He says, the Lord of heaven and earth, because of you, have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. And then he says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All things have been committed to me by my Father. I will give them. Jesus is wisdom made flesh. He is the giver. He is the one we need to look to day by day. So our third point as we move rapidly on is that wisdom is also a pathway, therefore, that we walk along. It's a day-by-day discipline of listening to God. Fascinating words as this passage goes on. Verse 8, let's look at that together. Verse 8 talks about guarding the paths of justice, the way of his saints. And then let's look at verse 18 together over the page. Verse 18. The one who rejects God walks paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. But you will walk in the way of the good. Keep to the paths of the righteous. The preacher, Tim Keller, points out in his series of sermons on Proverbs that wisdom is a pathway. It's not a door that we walk through. It's a pathway we follow step by step. He says that 700 or 800 times the Bible describes life as a path that we walk along. And he quotes C.S. Lewis, who again says that, he says the following: for the sages of old, the cardinal problem has always been, how do I conform my soul to reality? And the solution is wisdom. However, for the mystic in ancient times and today's science alike, the cardinal problem has always been, how do I subdue reality to the wishes of my soul? And the solution is a technique. You understand that? We look for how-tos, for techniques to subdue reality to our desires. Wisdom is about subduing our very selves, to God's truth, God's reality. Wisdom is a pathway we walk along, learning more and more each day of God's reality. Tim Keller uses an example of a man who was interviewed, who was in prison and had spent most of his adult life in prison. And he was explaining how, as a boy, he'd been playing with his father's watch, and he had accidentally dropped it and broken it. This was a very antique watch that his father kept in a drawer, but he got it out of the drawer and had broken it. He put it back in his father's drawer and didn't mention it again. And when his father asked what the issue was, how that had happened, he kept quiet. And later on, as an adult, he was driving along, and someone came out in front of him, and he knocked this person over and killed them. And he drove on. By instinct, he just kept on going. And the interviewer said, what set your destiny in terms of spending your life in prison? Was it that incident? And he said, no, it was the watch. It was, I learned at that stage, as a child, to keep quiet. I learned to avoid the truth, and that set my destiny for the rest of my life. Our danger is that we can stop looking to the Lord, and we can become very self-reliant. But the Bible says, if we do that, we'll become hard-hearted. Our hearts will be calloused to the realities of God. We need to therefore look afresh every day to the Lord. Look to the cross. Look to the fact that Jesus has paid for our wrongdoing. We can receive forgiveness. We need to look to that freedom, to that truth, to the reality of God's love. And when we do that, this miracle will happen. God's wisdom will flow into our lives. We'll know the security of God's wisdom. I'm just going to read as we close some words from Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Is that what we desire? The fountain of life being received from God. Is that the pathway we're walking along day by day? Is that the gift that we long to receive from God? Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we recognise that it is so easy in the busyness of life for you to move onto a back burner. And we are sorry for the times when we've done that, when we've ignored you and spurned your wisdom, the times when our desire has been more self-orientated rather than you-focused. We thank you that we can look to you afresh today. We can look to your forgiveness paid for on the cross. We can look to restored friendship with you. And we pray, therefore, that as we go from this place, we'll have that new heart, that new perspective, and receive from you wisdom, wisdom in decisions, conversations, actions this week, so that we know the life that comes from you. Amen. We're going to have lunch now. That's right. So do stay for that. Thank you.